4. King Arnald's Tower, Royal Palace, City of Garath, Kingdom of Dolar. Lewis Gardiner, the Earl of Thirsk, was in a less than cheerful mood as the guardsmen saluted and their commanding officer bowed him through the open door. "Langhorne, how I hate politics, especially court politics," he thought harshly. "And especially court politics at a time like this." Of course, he admitted a bit grudgingly as one of the Duke of Fern's innumerable secretaries met him with a deep bow, just inside King Arnald's Tower. It could have been worse. In fact, for the last 2 years or so, it had been worse, a lot worse. Things were in the process of looking up enormously, at least for him personally, and he was grateful that was true. On the other hand, he could have wished they'd started looking up a bit sooner, and at not quite so cataclysmic a cost for everyone else. The secretary led him down a short, broad hall, turned a corner, ascended a shallow flight of stairs, and knocked gently on an ornately carved wooden door.
"Enter!"
a deep voice called, and the secretary pushed the lavishly decorated panel wide.
"Earl Thirsk is here, Your Grace," he announced.
"Excellent, excellent! Come in, my lord!"
Thirsk obeyed the deep voice's invitation and stepped past the secretary into a luxurious, sunlit office. The walls of King Arnald's Tower were over 3 feet thick, but some remodeler had laboriously cut windows, reaching almost from floor to ceiling through the thick masonry. They filled the chamber with light, and at least the illusion of warmth. It was a welcome illusion, given the icy weather outside. The reality of the fire, crackling on a wide hearth, did considerably more to hold off the chill, however, and he was grateful for it, even if the chimney did seem to be smoking just a bit.
"Thank you for coming so promptly, my lord," the owner of the deep voice said, rising to stand behind his desk.
Samuel Cochrane, the Duke of Fern, was a man of medium height, thick-chested, with still powerful arms and hands, despite the years he'd spent in offices very like this one. His hair had silvered with age, yet it was still thick and curly, despite the fact that he was several years older than the grizzled gray Thirsk. Those sinewy hands were soft and well manicured these days, though, without the sword calluses they'd boasted when he was younger, and he'd discovered that a quill pen was a far more deadly weapon than any blade he'd ever wielded.
"My time is His Majesty's, Your Grace," Thirsk said, bowing to the Kingdom of Dolar's first counselor. "And sea officers learn early that nothing is more precious than time."
He straightened once more with a smile which was decidedly on the thin side. "Changing tides have little compassion, and winds have been known to shift whenever the mood takes them, so a seaman learns not to dawdle when they're favorable."
"I see."
Fern returned the Earl's smile with one which was even thinner, then gestured gracefully to the other man who'd been waiting in the office.
"As a matter of fact," he continued, "Duke Thorast and I were just discussing that, weren't we, Abram?"
"Yes, we were,"
Abram Xavier, the Duke of Thorast, replied. There was no smile at all on his face, however, and the bow he bestowed upon Thirsk was far closer to a curt nod.
"You were, Your Grace?" Thirsk asked, raising one eyebrow slightly in Thorast's direction.
It probably wasn't wise of him, yet, under the circumstances, he couldn't quite refrain from putting a certain innocent curiosity into his tone.
"Yes, we were," Fern said before his fellow duke could respond.
The words were identical to Thorast's, but there was a small yet pronounced edge to them. Thirsk heard it and met the first counselor's eyes. The message in them was plain enough, and the Earl nodded in acknowledgement and acceptance.
"He's probably right, too," Thirsk reflected. "Much as I'd like to watch the bastard squirm, I'm still going to have to work with him, so rubbing too much salt into the wounds probably isn't the very smartest thing I could do. But damn, it felt good.
As you say, Your Grace, he said out loud. And, to be honest, I can't say I'm completely surprised to hear it. It's not as if any of us have an unlimited supply of time, is it?
No, we don't, Fern agreed, and waved his hand at a large armchair set facing his desk. Please, be seated, my lord. We have a great deal to discuss.
Of course, Your Grace.
Thirsk seated himself in the indicated chair and leaned back, his expression attentive. Although Fern's formal note hadn't stated the official reason for his summons to the First Counselor's private office, he'd been fairly certain what it was about. Finding Tharast waiting with the First Counselor, and looking like a cat lizard passing fish bones into the bargain, confirmed the Earl's original surmise. What remained to be seen was exactly how far Thirsk was about to be formally rehabilitated.
As I'm sure you're aware, my lord, Fern began after a moment, Mother Church's Captain General, Vicar Elaine, determined some months ago that our initial shipbuilding programs required a certain degree of modification.
Well, that's one way to put it, Thirsk thought sourly. After all, it would hardly do to say the fucking idiot finally got his thumb out of his arse and realized he'd wasted Langhorn only knows how many marks building exactly the wrong damned ships, even if it would be considerably more accurate.
Although I'm sure many of the galleys we originally laid down will still prove useful, Fern continued, it's apparent that, as Vicar Elaine has pointed out, we're going to require a galleon fleet of our own when the time comes to take Mother Church's war back to the apostate.
Which is exactly the point I made to the moron in my reports, my detailed reports, 18 months ago, if memory serves, Thirsk reflected.